through the season of Advent and through Christmastide and into the season of Epiphany. We have been taking a tour of the symbols of our faith. And today we bring that tour to closure as we take a look at one of the oldest and most meaningful symbols of Christianity. And that, of course, is the fish. This symbol was already in use by Christians around the year 70, when only a few Christian communities had emerged, and there was a fear about growing oppression of the way, which was the following of Jesus. Christians were occasionally persecuted in those days, sometimes locally, but also throughout the Roman Empire, wherever they found themselves dispersed. Various descriptions of the torture that Christians endured are evident in historical witness, including crucifixions and executions that ended in arenas, either with gladiators or wild animals. The fish was a safe identifier for Christians in this turbulent time. It was a symbol that appealed to the imagination of the story we'll hear today. I just want to take a minute and describe what you're looking at. Greek was the world language at the time of Jesus. And in politics, the Roman or Latin way of thinking prevailed, but in culture, it was a Greek way of thinking. And therefore, the Greek language was common in the Roman Empire. In this word that we see up here written inside of the fish, it means ichthus, which is Greek for fish. But it has a deeper meaning as well. Each of the letters stands for an identity of Jesus. And I'll go through them and you can just follow along. The first is the letter iota, which is for Iosus, Jesus. The second is chi, which is Christos. The third is theta, or for Theo. The next is upsilon, or huios. The next is sigma. The last is sigma, which stands for soter. And if you put it together, it says Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Ichthus. And that's what it meant. And this diagram, this simple symbol of a fish and the word for it was like a password. A signed password. It was a hidden confession of a person's faith for Greek-speaking Christians. The fish symbol was a way that Christians could identify themselves to each other without either the Roman government or the Jewish religious leaders recognizing them. Upon meeting someone new, a believer could take a walking stick or a stick or just drag a toe through the dirt and put half of that symbol down. Just half. The other person would either complete the other half, thus revealing himself or herself as a follower of Jesus, or simply not recognize the action, thus revealing himself or herself as not being a disciple. Since the other person didn't recognize the disciple's actions, the identity of that disciple remained hidden. It took two parts to be able to complete the symbol. And this symbol is rooted in one of the oldest stories at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Reading from Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23. Now, when Jesus heard that John, who had baptized him, was arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of shadow and death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were on the shore, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. You may recall that Jesus' message is identical to John's. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And what they heard were either the Greek verb repent or metanoio, or the Hebrew verb of repent, which is shub. Both of them mean turn around. Turn around. Though the content is the same, context is very different between John and Jesus. You see, John was the forerunner. He prepared the way. Jesus is the embodiment of the message that John proclaimed. In Jesus' preaching and in his ministry, light has dawned and the reign of God has arrived. Turn around. Repent. Repentance in the biblical thought involves not merely apology, not merely remorse, but real change. Change of direction, change in your behavior, change in your life. Turn around. See the difference? Not just a statement, but an action. Jesus today in our reading from Matthew calls people as they are, from where they are, in the very process of being who they are. And lives change when Jesus appears. As Jesus walks beside the water, the soon-to-be disciples are engaged in their daily jobs, earning a living for themselves and for their families by fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Two of them are on the shore casting nets. Two others are in the boat setting out for deeper water. They're obviously at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. Their work is dirty and it's physically challenging. It demands their attention from sunup to sundown. Jesus doesn't seem to be bothered by their grimy fingernails, their wet or dirty clothing or hair, not even by their low social status or absence of political power. That doesn't bother him. And you might say, why not? Because that one, that Jesus, has a kingly pedigree. But he doesn't even demand that they shower before showing up for their work. He doesn't ask any questions about their education, their abilities, or their availability to work for extended periods away from home and family. He simply says, come and follow me. In the first scene, Matthew depicts Jesus encountering two brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And he says, follow me, I will make you fish for people. And in that simple call, he changes their life's work. Without comments or questions, remember that word, immediately. Peter and Andrew abandon their tools of the trade and they follow Jesus. Stranger. To Simon and Andrew, Jesus promises to expand their skills. These men who cast nets for fish will one day catch people instead. Then Jesus sees another set of brothers, James and John, in a boat with their father Zebedee. And Jesus calls them too. And this scene emphasizes the invitation into Jesus' new community to become one of his followers. James and John also put down their work, leave their boat, leave their father, and follow Jesus. For them, Jesus' call took priority over family commitments. And that's a startling idea in an era when family connections were a primary source of both identity and of honor. And when the responsibility of to care for one's parents was rooted both in cultural custom and in biblical law, Jesus changed that. You can't encounter Jesus and not be changed. James and John only received a call. No hint about what follows, no detail about their work, no promises of success, just follow me. All four of these people leave their lives and follow after this stranger who breaks into their daily routine. All that is asked of them at this point is very simple, just follow. As they are, from where they are, being who they are. As is true for all followers of Jesus, the meaning of their choice to follow him will unfold only over time. Jesus calls these disciples to a new way of life in the reign of God. At its most basic, discipleship means following Jesus, getting behind him, going wherever he leads. And for these first disciples, that was a really difficult road. Despite their obedience to Jesus' call, in the coming days, they will often fail both to understand and to obey him. They'll sleep through his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. They'll flee when he is arrested. And Peter will deny that he even knows Jesus. Not once, but three times. They'll run away. But Jesus will not give up on them. He will call them to repent, to shub, to turn around, to go back to the place where it all began for them. And they will fail. But afterwards, they will be called to follow once again. From these first scenes at the Galilee, through the rest of their lives, Jesus continues to call his disciples to live out the promise and the hope that he embodies. They are to set aside fear and trust completely in God and in him, the Son of God. These first disciples, for their part, they might have preferred to keep their jobs, to remain with their families, and to stay with life as they knew it. When they see Jesus and hear his words to them, though, they make a choice. They take a risk. They step out in faith. They leave behind that which is comfortable and secure. They choose to follow Jesus. They become discípulos, followers. Disciples. There's a lot to this passage. There's a lot that goes deep into this. And I just want you to put yourself, just for a moment, in their position. You are doing exactly what you do every Tuesday. So think about that. What do you do every Tuesday? You're doing that. And you're in the very midst of it. You are working hard at that. And someone comes up to you and says, stop. Come and follow me. What do you say back? I'm just curious. What do you say back? Where are we going? You've got to be me. How long is it going to take? I got to finish this work I'm doing, right? What else did you say? Who are you? I've never seen you here. How did you get in here? What's in it for me? I don't have time for this. Let me ask my wife. Oh, you know me too well. What else might they say? Why? Just simply, why? I can't. In our humanness, we ask all the questions that put up barriers to us saying yes. You know that. We start to analyze. We start to hypothesize. We start to evaluate. We start to judge. And if Jesus came to you on Tuesday and said, hey, just drop what you're doing, follow me. Rhetorically, what would you say? And I want you to feel this because it's no small thing that these four fishermen who had done this for all of their life, who were taking care of family, who were committed to their trade, were being asked to drop everything, their way of life, their cultural norms, and follow this stranger. And my guess is that most of us, me included, would say no. For every excuse we heard in here and a million more. So please understand how unique this is. Don't just read it like a Hansel and Gretel. Understand that this cuts to the very core of who we are as humans. And Jesus was throwing out an invitation to be life-altering, to change in every way. We don't know how many people he asked and said all the things we heard in here just now. We don't know that, do we? We don't know. If he'd asked me, I probably would have said, have a nice day. I wouldn't be in there. Not in that story. But these four were. And the Gospels are written upon their yes. Written upon their yes to Jesus. The fact that they put down tools and life and relationships and work, and they followed him. Wherever it was he was going, whatever it was he was doing, in their heart they knew, I must follow him. And they did. Please feel that. Don't think about it. Feel that. Feel what it would be required for you to say yes in that way to Jesus. For centuries, and actually for millennia, following this story, followers of Jesus would also be forced to choose, to take a risk, to step out in faith, to leave behind comfort and security. And when they did, they'd take a stick, or they'd drag a toe when they draw half a fish in the dirt, waiting for those who were able to complete the symbol, to draw the other half, confirming that they shared a life. They shared a God. They shared a Savior. Brothers and sisters, today, I draw my half of that fish before you, my half of that symbol, letting you know that I have taken the risk. I have stepped out in faith. I've left behind comfort and security. And I have chosen and choose anew each day to follow Jesus and to commit my life to him. By drawing that half a fish for you, I have said yes. Will you draw the other half of that symbol today? Will you finish that identity so that together we will know that we are safe with each other? That we are followers, disciples of Jesus. If so, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen.